This is Resonance 104.4 FM. My name's Jack Thurston, and you're listening to The Bike Show. It's another Monday afternoon. My name's Jack Thurston. This is The Bike Show. And joining me in the studio is Navind Babaram. And we're going to be talking today about bike politics, about running for election as a bicycle candidate, a pro-bicycle candidate, about riding a recumbent, and about bicycle rickshaws, and a whole lot of other things. Navind, welcome to Resonance.
Thanks, Jack. Welcome. Thank you.
Well, you have to excuse me if I'm a little bit phased today. I've not had any sleep last night because of a bicycle adventure that turned out to be a little bit more than I anticipated yesterday. Basically, I went for a little bike ride yesterday afternoon because it was a nice evening, and we went down to Putney Bridge to see some friends who were sailing a boat down. They'd taken it from Denmark or something, and they were taking it up to Kew, and it turned out to be this massive Polish icebreaker boat, a real old school, like heavy industry boat, and in pretty bad state of repair, as it turns out. Anyway, we get on the boat with the bikes, and we run aground at Kew, and then the steering breaks. We end up having to like sit on the side of the riverbank waiting for the tide to rise. And when the tide rises, the steering's broken. And the only way we were able to actually get anywhere was by using my bike lights. Because the steering was broken, we had one person at the back manning the tiller and the guy in the engine room manning the, you know, forward and backwards, and basically saying bit left, bit right, bit left, bit right. And we were giving that signal with the bike lights. In the end, we had to lower our bikes down in the morning once the tide had gone out, had to lower our bikes down off the boat onto the mud and then haul them up these ladders. So I'm a little bit sleep deprived.
Aww.
Anyway,
it was a bike adventure.
So it's a bike adventure. It's the thing, you never know what is going to happen when you get on your bike.
Yeah.
Navind, you have a history working with the rickshaws of London. This is a thing that's been, I don't know, in the last 5 years they've been getting going?
Yeah, they started about eight or nine years ago. And they started very small with about three or four. The three or four people that started riding rickshaws in London, I think three of them actually branched out and formed their own companies. So now, if you walk into town on a Friday or Saturday night, you'll probably find anywhere between 50 to 150 rickshaws riding around. It's growing and growing, and as it grows, it attracts more publicity, and as it attracts more publicity, some good, some bad, it just...
So what got you into it?
I'd been out of the country for about a year, I came back into the country and I was thinking, what do I do now? Should I go back to a proper job or what? And then I was walking around town one evening and I saw this guy ride past me on a rickshaw. I'd never seen one before. I thought, that's amazing. I've always been into riding bikes. So I phoned him up and asked if I could do it. And they said yes. I took my 2 weeks training and there it was. I started making money out of a hobby because I really enjoyed riding a bike. Got me super fit in no time because when I was on holiday, I developed quite a massive rice belly. And it was just so much fun chatting to people, being back in London, because I do love London. Being back here, being able to talk to tourists saying, oh, that's so-and-so, how do you like this city, et cetera, et cetera. And riding around, getting to know London again was fantastic.
And so what kind of people take rickshaws? Is it mostly tourists?
No, but there's a lot of tourists. There's a lot of people who need to get from A to B quickly.
Quicker than a taxi?
It's quicker than anything. Bicycles are quicker than most forms of transport, especially within London. Remember, these started before the congestion charge. So inside London, you nip around. They're very nippy, very, very manoeuvrable because they're tricycles. We regularly beat taxis who are snarled up in traffic. You can kind of cut in around, go through, not do illegal manoeuvres, I might add, but you can weave around a bit.
And how much does it cost to ride a rickshaw, and how much do you make as a rider?
It's impossible to say.
Do you have set fares, or do you bargain or something like that?
There are guidelines. The company I used to work for, which was Bug Bugs, they're kind of the biggest rickshaw company out there. And when they give you training, they have a suggested price, which is £5 per person per mile. So, I don't know, to go from Soho to Charing Cross Station, which is roughly a mile with two people, you could say, I want a tenner for it. But then, because it's not that far and it's downhill all the way, and it's quite fun to do when you burn one down the Haymarket and then turn left at the end, you might just say, look, I'll do it for a couple of quid. And depending on how you're feeling at the time, if you made loads of money, and someone might give you a massive tip anyway because they've really enjoyed it.
How much can you make on a good week and a bad week?
Fun question. I personally used to make, when I used to do 3 or 4 days a week, I used to make £300 to £400 a week. That was working quite hard. And plus, because I actually ended up working for the company as one of their mechanics, I was getting a little bit of a wage from them. Some people earn £80 to £200 a week. Some people earn more than what I was earning a week. It all depends on how you work, how much front you have. If you're willing to ask people for loads of money, if you're willing to go far afield, like, you get more money for a longer ride. So I went to Balham a couple of times, went to Tufnell Park for the middle of town. And each one of those rides was worth a minimum of £50 to me, but then they took an hour and they were hard work.
Yeah, that's right. All right, well, let's have a bit of music. This one goes out to the icebreaker and the fellas who are still on board. And I hope they're going to be all right.
Wash my sins away. I'm going to lay down my heavy load down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. I'm going to lay down my heavy load down by the riverside. Study war no more. I ain't going to study war no more. No, I ain't going to study war no more. No, no, I ain't going to study. Study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. No, I ain't gonna study war no more. No, no, I ain't gonna study war no more. I'm gonna try on my long white rope down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. I'm gonna try on my long white rope down by the riverside. Study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. No, no, I ain't gonna study.
That was Down by the Riverside by Sister Rosetta Tharp, going out to Ben and his crew down by the riverside at Kew on board their Polish icebreaker. Thanks for a fantastic adventure last night. Joining me on the bike show is Navin Babaram. Navin, what is the politics of rickshaws? I mean, are you like in league with the taxi drivers, or do they hate you, or how does it all work?
From my experience, is just being in London, taxi drivers hate everybody. So occasionally you do have altercations with taxi drivers. That's just part of life.
But do they see that? Do they think you're going to take business away from them, or not really?
Because their rickshaws are so visible, they're in people's faces a lot of the time, and they do sometimes take fares off taxi drivers. I think they rarely are gunning for rickshaws. Taxi drivers, it seems, have a kind of idea that they own the streets of London. If anyone's going to kind of cut in on their turf, they don't want that to happen. So recently, you may or may not know about the court cases that the LTDA brought against rickshaw companies.
Was that the Taxi Driver Association?
London Taxi Drivers Association. Yeah. And they lost both three times, as a matter of fact. They lost in Crown Court, they took it to appeal, they lost in the High Court. But they've got so much money, the LTDA, that they can just keep on throwing these money into court cases and just keep on trying to get them off the streets. I remember actually when they lost the High Court case, about 4 weeks afterwards, all these posters started appearing, massive billboard posters started appearing around town saying these people should be banned and this is a third world thing and all of that. So what can you do? The taxi drivers have a lot of weight, in as much as even if they lose, even if they're discredited, they pretty much run daytime talk radio shows. So there's lots and lots of unsolicited opinions going off. I remember once, the day that we won the case in Crown Court, that evening, my brother phoned me up and said, look, you should listen to the talk radio. It's about 2 a.m. So I turned on the radio and it's taxi, they're unlicensed, they're evil, they're all scum, etc., etc. Most of what they were saying wasn't actually true. So I phoned up the talk radio station and said, well, I was one of the people that was sued. Kind of just set the record straight here. The company I was working for is licensed. They are insured and they do train their riders. And for the rest of that show, which was only about another 40 minutes, no other taxi drivers came on. However, the next day, I'm sure they took it back up again. Yeah.
So was that part of what got you into politics? Because you stood for election last year, didn't you, for the Greater London Assembly?
Yeah.
Was that part? Why did you stand for election?
Just because it's something I've always wanted to do.
And you didn't stand for a particular party, did you?
I was an independent. The part of me standing as an independent is because I wouldn't want to be associated with any particular party. So I stood as an independent as part of that, saying, well, I don't believe in anyone else is saying. So.
And what was in your manifesto?
In my manifesto, it was a promotion of environmentally friendly transport. That's cycling, it's also skateboarding, rollerblading, walking, and LPG cars, hydrogen fuel cars, things like that. Better school dinners, which I'm really pleased to say is on the agenda at the moment, and it's coming off quite in a big way. What else? It was about better policing, just the general things that would make for a better
community. Would you have changed about how London works to benefit cyclists?
Well, It's not just cyclists, like I said, it's all forms of environmentally friendly transport. Yeah. But at the moment, everything's leaning towards cars. So let's have more cycle lanes and let's have better cycle lanes, because a lot of the skinny green cycle lanes are generally just kind of a linear assortment of obstacles. You've got your big drain cover over there and then your plank and your bricks, which just happen to be lying there, plus all the smashed glass, which you meet about 3 meters later. So if you're in a green cycle lane, you end up most of the time veering out of it. It's also educating other road users and cyclists that let's share the space. Let's not say you have to stay in that lane, you have to stay there, and never the twain shall meet. And one thing that would have been really good is you have those green cycle boxes at the beginning of next to traffic lights, which are about 2 meters in front of the traffic. Apparently in Denmark, they have those, and they have a separate cycle light. So 10 minutes before, or 10 seconds before the green light goes, you've got a cycle light which lets all the cyclists who are boxed up in that box go off in front of the cars, giving them a chance to, you know, form a queue, get in a nice line, and just keep on riding. Therefore, when the cars go, there's no beeping, there's no jockeying for position, there's no kind of pushing and shoving. It seems to make perfect sense to do that. And since we've got so many cycle boxes, I'm sure it wouldn't be too difficult.
Because I'm not quite sure sometimes what those cycle boxes are for, because often they've got a Mercedes-Benz in them, haven't they?
Yeah, well, exactly. And if there's a car directly behind you, and if there's, say, there's four cyclists in that box and there's cars behind, all that's going to happen is going to cause aggression. The cars are going to get aggressive and try and push you out of the way. And the cyclists are going to bunch up and probably, and you know, get in each other's way, trying to get out of the car's way, which you have to do because cars are going to knock you over. So they're just small practical things. Taking off some railings where you need to have access to the pavement, where you need to jump off quickly if there's a big lorry coming up. Better facilities for bike parking, things like that, you know, bike-friendly offices, which is happening quite a lot anyway.
There never seem to be enough places to park, do they? So people have to tie their bikes up to railings and all that sort of thing.
Tying your bikes up to railings as well, the way you know in advance that something, it's more than likely that your bike's going to be attacked in some form. There is a place, Herne Hill train station's got a massive, huge bike park. There's always about, you know, 50 to 100 bikes outside there, and it's regularly bikes are vandalised. Well, I wouldn't want to put my bike there, even though it's great that they've got the bike facilities, but, you know, maybe I don't want to go down the route of CCTV cameras, but possibly just something there that's going to prevent that kind of thing happening.
Yeah, well, my bike has a defence mechanism, is that it doesn't look very good.
mine too.
So people don't tend to go for it.
Well, I try to make mine look bad, but it still looks good.
All right, let's have another bit of music. This is The Jam. London Traffic by The Jam on Resonance 104.4 FM. This is The Bike Show. My name's Jack Thurston, and in the studio this week is Navind Babaram. Navind, tell me about your ride.
My ride? My bicycle. I love it. I absolutely love it, like most people do.
Most people love your bicycle, or most people love their bicycles.
Everyone loves their bicycle, I would have thought. I ride a recumbent. It's one of the most comfortable bicycles it is the most comfortable
bicycle. Hang on, what is it, recumbent? For people who don't know what that word means, it's one of those bikes that you sit down on.
Yes, you sit down, lie down, recline. It's your feet are up the front. You're lying back on a very, very sculpted seat, which is very long. It supports your behind all the way up to your neck. Your handlebars are either beneath the seat or in front of your chest. And it's just bliss. It's like floating on your own personal cloud. It's absolutely lovely.
What got you into recumbents?
I was walking through Dulwich Park one day. I had a bit of a loose end. I was a bit bored of my job, bored of my ex-girlfriend. And as I was walking through the park, my bike had been stolen about 6 months previous. I needed a new one. There's a shop called London Recumbents in Dulwich Park. I wandered in there just to check out what it was all about, having ridden a recumbent before. They said they could sell me a second-hand one for about £900. I said, I can't do that. But then they offered me a job. Started working there. Managed to get one for £250 off of them eventually. And I've never turned...
Because they're quite expensive, aren't they?
Yeah, brand spanking new one. Because generally they have to be imported from either Holland or Denmark or Germany or America. There's a very tiny cottage industry in England. But yeah, they're £1,000, give or take £200 or £300. You can get second-hand ones on eBay, but... You know, they do require...
And so besides the comfort, what's good about riding a recumbent as opposed to riding a regular bike? Because you're a bit... I've seen them and they look a bit less stable or somehow a bit lower, so you're a bit less visible. I don't know.
That's what people always say. It took me a day to ride a conventional bike when I was 8 years old. It took me a day to learn properly to ride a recumbent bike when I was 27. So it's just like riding a bike.
But they've got different kinds of ones, haven't they? Because yours is quite a high up one, isn't it?
Mine's
and then there's a low rat racer ones.
Yeah, there are different kinds of recumbents. Apparently in the 1920s, recumbent bikes got banned from the Tour de France because they were too fast. The really low ones, which are set up for speed, they're super aerodynamic. The wind just kind of flies over you. And because you're using all of your muscles from your neck down to your toes, they're far more energy efficient. They go for speed. My one's a bit higher up. It's got really, really comfy suspension. So all those potholes I hit every day, however many thousands there are in the streets at the moment, I don't feel them. I just bounce along the roads. It can go quite fast. But I have a different mentality now. I used to ride a really fast road bike and it was all about getting from A to B as quick as I could. I've seen the streets in London. They're dirty, they're smelly. Just want to get there. Now, if I get stuck in traffic, I'll just sit down, relax, look at the sky, listen to the birds. You know, it's just a different mentality. It's so much more comfortable. And the thing people say about height, yes, you are a lot of the time just maybe a teeny bit lower down than a bicycle. A bicycle, your head is generally above the tops of cars. On my bike, I'm eye level with drivers. They generally see me. I've got a horn, I've got a bell, I've got lights. Most people would notice you just because you're on this odd machine.
So if people want to try one out before they buy, what can they do?
If they want to try before they buy, they can either go and visit, I think the shops that deal with the recumbents in London are Bike Fix in New Lambs Conduit Street and London Recumbents, which is based in Dulwich Park and Battersea Park. The good thing about London Recumbents is if you wanted to take a test ride, you can actually test ride them around the park, which is a beautiful place to go and ride around.
And they're happy to let people test ride them, are they?
Oh, absolutely.
And who was it who was doing at Bike Fest last year in Trafalgar Square? There was a company there that had a whole load of different bikes, kind of folding bikes and recumbents, and people having to go on those.
I don't know.
I can't remember. I can't remember who it was. But I'd never... There was the queue to get on a recumbent was enormous, so I've never actually ridden one.
Come and try one out in Battersea Park one day. They are bliss. I wouldn't go back to my old bike, which I toured around Ireland on. I toured around England. I've been loads and loads of places. I loved my bicycle, but since I stopped riding, I've been on a recumbent. I've never had a sore behind. I did Cambridge to London in one day. And I had no recovery time. I was just like, oh yeah, this is lovely. It's bliss. You don't feel it. It's just heavenly.
Do that again. Do do do. Oh God, love it, love it, love it, love it. All right.
heaven and a heaven. All our loving and a blubber lover. All right, a rigging ticket, hubba lover. All out the mail ticket, lover hubba. Been down the truck like I want to do. All out the zipping and a hubba lover. All right, a rigging ticket, blubber lover. All out the woody back up.
Did you overhear of a wish sandwich? Well, it's the kind of a sandwich that you're supposed to take. Two pieces of bread and wish you had some meat.
Do 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 bom.
Gal gal, lovin' and a blubber lover. Now ride a hippin' dippin' zippin' dippin'. All out the bell, take a lover hover. He ride a one and a record breaker. All out the bell, take a lover hover. He ride a hoodie with his lover lover. All out the bell, take a lover hover. He ride a hippin' and a hubba lover. How loud is something that a jigger want?
The other day, I ate a ricochet biscuit. Well, it's the kind of a biscuit that's supposed to bounce off the wall back in your mouth. If it don't bounce back, you go hungry.
Do 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 bom.
Gal gal, lovin' and a blubber lover. I love the sun that a lover do. He ride a truck like a lover do. I love the thunder of a zipper dipper. All out the mail took a lover hover. He ride a one a dipper lover lover. All out the mail took a lover hover. Been down a lovin' and a blubber do. He ride a zipper to hubba do.
The other day, I ate a cool water sandwich and a Sunday go to meat and bun.
Do 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 bom.
Cow cow, lovin' and a blubber lover. All right, a rickety ticket, hubba lover. I love the wonder of a do. He ride a living in a hubba lover. All right, a hubbin' and a wonderful. He ride a one of a record record. All out the hell ticket, lover hubba. Bring down a wonder of a do. He ride a hubbin' and a gundabo.
What you want for nothing? A rubber biscuit?
Do 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 bom.
Cow cow.
You're listening to The Bike Show on Resonance 104.4 FM. Navin, we were just talking about feeling good on a bike. And next week, I'm going to have a special... We're having a special show featuring Rosie Wolford, who is a psychologist who takes people out into wilderness areas to get them to help think creatively through being in the wilderness. And she reckons that... that bicycling is a really good way of having new creative ideas. Okay. And here's a little clip from our ride, and I want to hear what you think about it.
It's a known fact that when you are doing an exercise that is repetitive and you keep doing it, as we do with cycling, your brain slips into something called alpha state. And in alpha state, a little bit of your brain that connects the unconscious with the conscious opens up. So if you've asked yourself a question or you're stuck on something, that's when answers tend to bubble out. Or if you've filled your brain with lots of ideas and thoughts, as we do on the big stretch, doing exercises in the morning, then when you're out walking or cycling, they tend to recombine and things that are very true or very new tend to pop up. So cycling or walking or swimming are brilliant things to do to get yourself in a mental state for new perspectives and new ideas.
Well, that was Rosie Wolford. And if you want to hear more about brain psychology and cycling and creativity, tune in at the same time next week. Do you think she's onto something, Navind?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, I used to be a teacher a long time ago, and it was quite a stressful job. And there's so many things in your head at the end of the day. Cycling home every day, and even cycling to work, just was so lovely. All those things running through your head just kind of make a bit more sense by the time you've got home, and even getting into school in the mornings, it just helps you to, and it helps your brain sort through things, definitely. Plus, on long rides, I've conquered the world in my mind. I just wish I had the notepad to write it down at the time.
Well, it's the end of the show. Navin, thanks so much for coming
in. Thank you for inviting me in.
And I'll have to have you in again, because I know there's loads more we've got to talk about, but half an hour is just half an hour. As I said, Rosie Wolford riding with me around London, talking about psychology next week. Until then, goodbye from The Bike Show.
Bye.
En arrivant à sa hauteur, j'y fais un sourire enchanteur. La bicyclette. Elle rit aussi, on parle alors, et elle me dit dans nos transports, la bicyclette. Est-ce que vous êtes coureur? Moi, je ne suis pas coureur. Est-ce que vous êtes menteur? Moi, je suis balayeur. Avez-vous fait le tour? Tour de France? Non, mais j'ai fait des détours, des contours, et même d'autres tours. Des tours de quoi qu'elle me dit, des tours de vélo, pardi. Vous êtes un blagueur, est-ce que vous êtes coureur? Vous parlez d'un raisonnement? Coureur. Enfin, ça fait rien. Bon.